couldn't figure out how to sneak up there, though, without you seeing me. So I left my wallet there, Lynn, in that front pew where I can thank you. So I only have $3. If you think I'm out taking it, I plan on buying a Diet Coke with that, you know, on the way home. So help me out with that. I like a 10 o'clock start time pretty early. For most churches, it would be early. We started at UMass. I was there for 18 years. We started at 9:30. And it always helped us keep the Methodist to the restaurant. And that was one of the goals. That was our goal, to beat the Methodist to the restaurant. But around here, I don't see any restaurants, so I guess it doesn't matter so much. Yeah, you got to go. You got to travel. Shelva asked me what my last name was, and I told her Smith. And so I said, I go all the way back to Adam and Eve. I don't know where the rest of you folks came from. I've been around. But my people's been around for a while. Actually, I'm originally from southern West Virginia. And that's been a long time ago. Grandma was a Hatfield, so I'm a direct descendant of Dead Lance. And I can't remember your name, but I asked if you threw rocks during the sermon, because Hatfields throw them back if you do. So sitting next to Shelva, what's your name there? Bob. Bob the rock thrower. So if you do throw, I'll just pick them up and throw them back. So hold all the rocks until after the sermon. But it is good to be with you. I don't get very many chances to preach, and I texted Kent Hall and said, hey, you know anybody who needs any help? And that was in the morning, and by the afternoon or evening, I had three places to preach. Apparently, folks need help, and that's okay. So if you follow along in your Bibles and you want to see what I'm preaching on today, you can go to the book of Matthew in chapter 2, probably a passage of Scripture is very familiar to you. But I'll read it to you here, just verses 13 through 18, just a real short passage. And I only speak for about 20 or 25 minutes. That goes right along with you. It'll be the Methodist restaurant if you're planning on that. So you can kind of set your clocks there for a little bit. So Matthew chapter 2, starting verse 13. But before we read that, I want to have a word of prayer with you to ask for the Lord's blessing. Lord, we want to pause for a moment or two and thank you for all that you've done for us already this day. We felt your presence through the ministry of song, through the sermon, just the gathering for prayer. And now, Father, we come to your word, and I ask that you would make it real to us. What we hear, help us, Father, to live. And Lord, help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers of it. More than anything else, Father, make us more like your Son. Lord, give us strength for our journey and mercy and grace along the way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. Now when I read from the New King James Version, if you're wondering, but Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. He sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. We will end our reading there, and may the Lord bless the public reading. My family has always had dogs. home. I have one now. His name is Caliber. He's a Texas transplant. My son, when he was working down there, found him in the bush. He had gotten separated from his litter, getting his sister. He raised him on the front porch of a ranch house down there, dropped him home, dropped him off, and then he left. So I inherited them, found a home for the female, and kept the male, Caliber. And whenever I leave the house, and this would probably never happen to you, but I'm just joking. He looks so sad. And I say, I'll be back. I'll be back in a little bit. And he'll just stand there and watch me as I leave. Over the years, we've had several dogs. One of the last ones I had was a lab, a yellow lab. We called him Cadoba after the restaurant. Because he'd eat anything from Cadoba that he brought home. But he was also the color of that nacho cheese they served. That's how yellow he was. The good thing about that dog was he forced us to keep a really clean house. He didn't have accidents in the home or anything like that, but if you left a pair of shoes out or a pair of socks, if you left underwear on the floor, he would chew and chew and chew and just eat everything. I lost several pairs of glasses to that dog. I would go down to Dr. Carr in St. Mary's, my doctor, say, I love dogs. Today I don't, I would tell him, because they're going to cost me a couple hundred extra dollars here today. Getting new glasses. But the problem was with Cadoba, after a while, after he would eat something, I correlated, he would have seizures at night. And they were horrible seizures. They were just debilitating. For several minutes, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, that's way too long for a seizure. And he almost knew when it was going to happen, because if he ate something through the day that he shouldn't, like a pair of socks or shoes, that evening, that night, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he could hear him running through the house, and then he would jump on the bed and lay down between me and my wife and have his seizure right there. I had medication for him. The vet had given me, I think, Valium for him to calm his seizure down. And after a while, he'd come out of it. I would scold myself, or maybe even my wife, for leaving something down that he could chew. So it forced us to do certain things. But that was our choice. We chose to try to make it a clean home so the dog wouldn't have the seizures that he had. And we were able to succeed. Life was a lot better when we kept the house clean, when we kept things picked up. It was better for us, better for the dog. You know something? God tells you through His Scripture, through His Word, that if you will obey, you will be blessed. If you don't obey, you will be cursed. It's a very simple principle in the Scripture. You find it all through the Old Testament. And you find it in little passages like this in the New Testament, too. We see someone who is blessed by the name of Joseph. We see someone who is cursed by the name of Herod. And when you obey Scripture, life is a lot better. I tell you, it's just a lot better to live it. Because when life is not going well, you don't want to interact with people. You don't want to get up and go. You don't want to work. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to do anything of the activities of daily living. You just want to sit down and be cursed. When you obey Scripture, like, love your wife like Christ loved the church. The marriage is a lot better like that. Notice that Scripture in the book of Ephesians never said for the wife to love the husband. Now, isn't that interesting? She's never commanded to love him. And when you read in the book of Ephesians the directives to the husband and then the directive to the wife, the wife gets about 1 or 2 sentences. And the man gets this much You're to love her like Christ loved the church. And when you do that, life is a lot better. When you obey Scripture, your marriage is a lot better. It's blessed when you obey Scripture, when you treat her like Christ treats the church. But no, I still find men who want to treat their women, their wives, like property. Like they own them. I'm sorry, that's way too convincing, isn't it? Now, come on. You know what I'm talking about. Because you've done it, and let's be honest, I've done it too. When you do go to the restaurant, when you eventually beat the Methodist to the restaurant today, you'll walk in front of your wife and go find a seat in the restaurant, and you'll sit down, and you act like she's not even there. But when the waitress comes over, she's the prettiest thing you ever saw. And you smile and say thank you. And it's a bit gushy, isn't it? And it just turns your stomach. It's just a little bit. When lunch is over, it comes time for the tip. Well, you go find her. And you put a whole dollar in her hand. Because you're a big tipper. Well, you forgot. You forgot that your wife is not proper. Scripture teaches that she is a person. As you are. And as her husband, you should love her like Christ loved the church. In that same book, in the book of Ephesians, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, to anger, but instruct them in the ways of the Lord. There's so many fathers that are like real sons. Sometimes with a grain of salt. An epistle is a letter, most of them written in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul. And all through his letters, he would drop that bomb of encourage. When people in the church encourage one another, folks want to be with you. When you discourage them, they don't. When the church becomes a place of gossip, people leave. When it becomes a place of hardship, people don't join. People want to be encouraged. Christians would rather judge one another than encourage one another. I don't know why. Even in the book of Matthew, it tells us, I think in chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Because the same way you judge people, that's how you're going to be judged. I think he meant judged ultimately at the throne of Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. I think that's what he meant there. That's a daunting thought. That's almost scary. That he's going to judge me the same way that I judge you. Therefore, I want to withhold judgment. I want to give you every opportunity to live out your Christian life the way that you think you should. I know that you're around this. If your teachers that you should encourage, those, we call those the one another commandments. Can't remember how many there are. 22, 23, 24, one another. Love one another. Pray for one another. Bear one another's burden. Encourage one another. And on it goes. One another. So, when you obey Scripture, like we just talked about, then life is blessed. When you disobey, or you think you know better than God, you think you know more than when you were 6 or 7, your dad was, he was more than Superman. Right? You thought he could do anything. My dad, whip your dad. That's the way we talk in Southern America. If you're a hillbilly, you get challenged. My dad could whip your dad any day of the week. And when you used to be a teenager and he says no is what you want to do, you think he's the dumbest person that ever lived. And then after you have your kids, after I had my kids, I get a little older. I guess he wasn't so wrong after all. And then it comes full circle, right? One day you're standing out the cemetery, standing by his grave. You say, well, he wasn't the most educated. We don't know more than God. We think we do something. He tells us in his word, do this, and life will be a lot better. Stay away from that, and life will go a lot easier for you. If you choose to go your own way, then life won't be so good. You can choose to have blessings. You can choose to have blessings. Obedience lets you be blessed like Joseph. We talk about Joseph here. Remember how he and Mary got together. She was found with child. Apparently, and you know, biologically speaking, she had had an affair on him, and the child was not his. He knew that. That was not a secret, or at least that's what he thought. But he did not want to put her away and make a public example of her. He did not want to judge her. By Old Testament right, he could have had her stoned, humiliated in public. Did not. He did what God asked him to do. Arise, take the child into Egypt. There are people who are seeking his life. You be a father to him. You be a protector to him. You provide for him. Even though you're not biologically his dad, you do what I tell you you're going to do. And they lived. We don't have a whole lot of information about Joseph in Scripture, do we? We have very little to go on as to what kind of person he is. But what we have, we find out that he was a super saint. God called him, he obeyed, and God blessed him for it. God can bless you too. If you want to be blessed, you should obey. you can have the blessing of a deeper relationship with God by informing yourself with the printed word, with God's word, by hearing sermons, by reading it for yourself, by moving on those opportunities that God gave you to serve. When He opens the door for you, you should go through it. What kind of blessing are we talking about? We love to pretend that God is more like Santa Claus than He actually is, keeping a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. That's not the way God operates. He's not talking about the material, physical blessing. He's talking about the spiritual blessing of having a deep relationship with Him and the people you call closest to your life. So you can be blessed if you obey. Disobedience will bring cursing, like we saw Herod. I love it when it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men. They were wise, weren't they? He said, I heard about this young Jewish boy who was born king, savior. If you find him, would you let me know where he is so I can worship him too? Wink, wink. They were warned in a dream, obeying God. They did not inform him. They left town. They left town and they skirted around wherever Herod was. How evil is this guy? He realized the Magi, the wise men, did not report back to him the location of the baby who was born king of the Jews. So he gave an order, didn't he? Did you see the order he gave? Any of the boys under the age of 2 would have been killed. He wanted no fuel to exist for the fire of an insurrection. Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, was probably a town of only about 1,000. Jesus was born only 75 miles, really, or hardly that, from the Egyptian border. One commentator guessed the slaughter took probably about 20 children. He was estimated. 20 young boys. Emperor Augustus reportedly said it was better to be Herod's sow. Word had gotten around. Herod was killing them. Interestingly enough, in the Greek language, there's only one letter difference between the word sow and son. In the eyes of God, there's a word. The Jews wouldn't even keep pigs. And it was safer to be a pig. You can be cursed like Herod. He was powerful, rich, famous, or infamous, if you will. He had a grandson, Herod Agrippa, who died of an infestation of worms in his intestines, as reported in Acts 7:12. Herod the Great died in 4 B.C. Josephus, one of the Intertestament historians, records he died basically the same way that his grandson did, an infestation of worms in his gut. Maybe they ate food that was undercooked. Maybe they developed disease like that. The bowels swelled and then they exploded. It was an agonizing, horrible death. But even that was too good for that man. Disobeyed. He could have worshipped the son. He could have worshipped the baby. But he turned to kill him. Just an aside, when people talk about abortion, things like that, I just say, let the babies live. Just let them live. That's the only thing that I want to do. government, this state government, from the church, from anybody. I just want you to let me know. Don't be a heretic and slaughter them for no reason at all. God doesn't force you to obey. That is your choice. You ought to make the right choice, whatever that is. You should choose. When the scripture says, love your wife, you should demonstrate that. As a father, it says, do not provoke your children, but instruct them, lovingly instruct them. The Bible says, encourage one another, pray for one another, uplift one another. As Christians, that's what you should do. Make it a house of prayer, not a house of gossip. Lift the Lord's name. Obey Him, and He will bless you. Disobey Him. You don't want to do that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for how you blessed us this day with your presence. We ask this, Father, as you bless us here and those who come. In Jesus' name I pray.